And a Baptist preacher comes along and sees it, and he wants to buy the lawnmower. And he says to the little boy, "So, hey, does this thing run?" And the little boy says, "Yes, sir." And so the preacher starts pulling on the rope to start it. He's pulling, and it's not starting. He says, "Son, this thing won't start." The little boy says, "Well, that's because you got to cuss at it." The preacher says, "Son, I'm a Baptist preacher. I haven't cussed in over 20 years. The little boy said, "Keep pulling. It'll come back to you." Y'all know what I'm talking about. It'll come back to you. You know, it reminds me of how easy it is for me anyway, to say stuff that I don't necessarily want to say. And just how much my mouth gets me in trouble. And I was thinking about the fact that, you know, relationships break down for lots and lots of different reasons. But most often they break down because of something that someone said. Something that someone says usually is the cause of when relationships break down. Every single one of us in the room right now carry wounds, have scars from things that people have said to us. Maybe it was words from your parent or your parents. Maybe they were on purpose, but maybe they weren't on purpose. It could have just been teasing that went too far. Maybe it was a brother or a sister, someone else in the family, a grandparent. Maybe it happened at school. Maybe it even happened at church. Maybe it was a spouse, or even a good friend. But all of us carry wounds. We all have scars from words that have been said to us. But at the same time, all of us have wounded other people with our words. The Bible describes it, I think, perfectly in James chapter 3. You'll see it on the screen. But James says that we all stumble in many ways. Isn't that true?
Yes.
We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Any perfect people here this morning? If you think you are, just keep pulling. It'll come back to you. Like James says, we all stumble. I like that word stumble, by the way, because it has the implication of accident. Because in reality, we all know that sometimes we stumble on purpose, right? I know what I said. I meant what I said. Right? But a lot of the times, we don't necessarily mean it. Sometimes it's something that we just say, some innocuous statement, and it ends up wounding or hurting some other person, and the result is that the relationship is damaged. The relationship is broken. I heard a quote from someone that said, "Mistakes of the tongue have destroyed more people, ruined more marriages, and cost more businessmen their jobs and their futures than any other kind of mistake." The Bible talks about this a lot, especially in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom, it's full of wisdom statements. In Proverbs 16:28, it says, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. And then in Proverbs 17:9, it says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense. In other words, they overlook an offense. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. I think the key word in those two Proverbs is the word separates. Because all the gossip, all the conflict, all the hurtful words separate people. Relationships are broken. I heard a funny quote that said, the reason a dog has so many friends is because he wags his tail more than his tongue. Say amen or oh no, right? You know, have you guys noticed that the closer that you are to someone, the easier it is to get hurt or to hurt that person? There's something about the proximity of being with people a lot that increases the situation as far as being able to be hurt or hurt someone else. But the reality is you don't even have to be married to that person or be in the same family or live with them. Sometimes it's just people that you work with, people that you have to spend time with every day. I heard someone recently, they were talking about at work how they're in the customer service business and how the employees, when it comes to the customers, everyone's really cheerful and kind and nice, and you know, and but in the break room, right? In the break room, it's a whole different thing going on between them. The proximity effect. Relationships break down for a lot of reasons. But I think for me personally, when it's most difficult is when I have hurt someone or messed up a relationship, and then later on I wish that I could have a do-over. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you wish you hadn't said what you said or did what you did, and you wish you could just go back and start over, begin again. And that's really what I want to talk to you guys about today, because there is a reset button. There is an opportunity to start over. And that's really why we celebrate Easter. People have all kinds of funny and even weird ideas about Easter. You may have come here today with some eclectic, that's a good word, idea of what Easter is all about. You know, you're like, why am I here? Why did they push so hard for me to come today when I don't really know what this is all about? There was a Sunday school teacher, she was asking her class, it was like the week before Easter, and she was asking her class about what, if they knew what happened at Easter, and if they knew why Easter was so important. And one little girl spoke up, she says, Easter is when the whole family gets together, and you eat turkey, and you sing about the pilgrims, and all that. The Sunday school teacher says, no, I'm sorry, that's not it. Another little boy raised his hand. He says, I know what Easter is all about. He said, Easter is when you get a tree and you decorate it and you sing and give gifts to people. And the teacher said, no, I'm sorry, that's not it either. A third student speaks up. He says, Easter is when Jesus was killed and put in a tomb and left for 3 days. The teacher thought to herself, oh, thank goodness, someone understands what Easter is. But the little boy continued, he said, and then everybody gathers at the tomb and to wait to see if Jesus comes out. And if he sees his shadow, he has to go back inside, and we have winter for 6 more weeks. So let's talk a little bit about what today is really all about. Amen. To understand what Easter is really all about, we have to start with a broken relationship. That's where we have to actually start. Someone once said that sin is the great separator. The great separator. When we say and we do wrong things, we hurt people. Everybody agree with that?
Amen.
When we say and do wrong things, we hurt people. And when we hurt people, walls come up between us that separate us. Think about it. What happens whenever you have a relationship that breaks down? You don't want to be around that person, right? They don't want to be around you. They don't return your text messages. They don't answer the phone when you call them. The walls of separation come between us. And likewise, when we say and do wrong things, our relationship with God gets broken as well. We've been talking a lot about this lately here at our celebration during our 40 days of prayer campaign, because we've been focusing on the Lord's Prayer, and especially on the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, "Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Because we all stumble, right? We all stumble, which means that we all sin. Which also means that we all need forgiveness. And forgiveness includes the word I love, which is reconciliation. That word reconcile means to bring together again. Where we were broken up, we were separated, the walls were there, now the walls come down and we come back together. That's the do-over, y'all. That's the reset. That's where we start over. That's where we get a second chance. And so, I want to show you 4 different ways, 4 different walls that came down because of the resurrection, because of Easter. 4 different walls, and they're in your outline. You should have your outline, your sermon outline in your bulletin. But there's 4 different walls that I want to share with you real quick. The first wall that comes down, this first reset that we have, is that it's starting with the wall between God and us. The wall between God and us. The resurrection changed everything. It changed everything. First of all, the resurrection proved that Jesus' claim that he was the Son of God in the flesh was true. It proved it. And that meant that people no longer would have to follow rules and traditions in order to be forgiven. Because Jesus is alive and he's not dead. He's the way to salvation if we choose to accept it, to trust him. But the thing that's really, really cool is that the resurrection proved what Jesus said about himself. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life." And he said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." So now, because of the resurrection, we have access to the kingdom of God. Yes. We have access to God. We have, you guys, I know you guys will love this. We have unlimited access. Yes. We have unlimited minutes. Y'all know what that means. We have unlimited access to God because of the resurrection, if we choose. That means the wall between God and us has come down. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul describes it like this. He says, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Christ, through Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." There's that word reconcile again. That God brought together again, literally everything. Everything in heaven and everything on earth. Notice that word reconcile in this text is connected to the word peace. That meant there's conflict between us and God. There's conflict. But God has made peace between him and us. He's made forgiveness available to us. So that means everything that you've ever done, everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done, whether you stumbled or not, has been wiped out forever. That's the reset. That's the starting over. That's the beginning again. That's what Easter is all about, starting over. The second wall is the wall between Gentiles and Jews. The wall between Gentiles and Jews has come down because of the resurrection. The resurrection broke down the walls of hostility between the Jewish people and Gentiles. If you want to know what Gentile is, just look around. Because if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. Amen?
Amen.
So the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, he's writing to Gentile Christians. He's writing to people like you and I who are Christians. And he's reminding them of what their life was like before they became Christians. So check this out. In Ephesians 2, starting at verse 11, Paul writes this: "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, back then, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope." God chose the nation of Israel to be the one through which he would reveal himself to the whole world. And at that time, circumcision was like a mark or brand of ownership that God said, "These people are my people, and they're different from everyone else because they're my people." Now, when you look at that verse, you don't even have to know what the word heathen means to recognize that it ain't nice.
Right.
They weren't calling us a nice name, right? Uncircumcised heathens. Heathen, by the way, means strange, uncivilized. But the Jews had a relationship with God, and we didn't. But the resurrection changed everything. So Paul's writing this to people that aren't Jewish to help them understand, this is where you were at. This is what happened. This is where you were at before the resurrection happened. You were outsiders. You didn't know God. You had no hope. But the resurrection changed everything. So in verse 14, He says, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. And he did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. You know what the one new people is? Christians.
Yeah.
He broke down the wall of hostility. Now, everyone in the world, no matter what country you're from, no matter what language you speak, no matter what color your skin, we all have access to God. None of us have to be outsiders. Number three, the next wall is that comes down because of the resurrection, because of Easter, is the wall between each of us. Each of us. All of y'all. Jesus broke down the wall of hostility between all people. We know that walls separate, walls divide. Walls divide, whether it's race, whether it's a language, whether it's gender, nationality, politics. Later on in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, now all of us can come to the Father, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Now all of y'all can come together to the Father through the same Holy Spirit. Now, in your outline, I want you to circle the word can in that verse. All of us can. Notice it says can. It doesn't say will. Because it's a choice. Let me give you an illustration. My beautiful wife, Luann, and I occasionally have a disagreement. Not very often, and I'm always in the wrong. This is recorded. I'm on record. But every now and then we get in a little disagreement. And sometimes the agreement can escalate a little bit. But always, and by the way, we're celebrating our 30-year anniversary next week. For all my critics, yeah, I told you. But anyway, but when things get to that point, one of us always says, we need to pray. We need to pray. And it stops everything in that moment. Because we know that we can go to the Father. And we know that when we go to the Father, he will bring peace. He will cause the wall to come down. He will bring his love and patience and clarity and everything that we need in that moment. Because we know that we have access. Can you imagine if our politicians did that? Can you imagine if the things that are going on in Sacramento right now between the police and the community, if they did that? Or if on our high school and college campuses, yes, if they did that. Right. Because we can. And they can. We all have access. It says, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. That's all because of the resurrection. The resurrection made all of that possible. Can I ask you a question? And don't raise your hand when I ask this question. Do you have a conflict with someone? Do you have a conflict with anyone? The reason I say don't raise your hand, because they may be sitting right next to you. You have a conflict with anyone? If you have a conflict, then go to the Father. Because you can. You have access. Go to Him. Pray. Ask for God to bring the wall down between the two of you or however many. You may have to have like multiple meetings with God for some of y'all. It's like, I'm back again. Yeah, no. But you can go to the Father and ask that He would bring the wall down so that healing can happen. The last one, I'm going to close with this. The number four is the wall within ourselves. The wall within ourselves. We've seen the wall between God and us come down, the wall between Gentiles and Jews come down, the wall between ourselves and other people come down, but now the wall within ourselves. Over time, the hurts, the wounds in our lives create walls within ourselves, within our hearts. And those walls can become barriers that keep us from becoming everything that God really wanted us to be. I think every one of us can relate to that feeling that happens sometimes of feeling like something's keeping you back from being all that you could be. Some of you may have real regrets about that. But walls come up even within our own hearts. It could be guilt. It's a powerful wall. It could be unforgiveness, resentment. It could be a bad self-image. Maybe things were said to you or about you that helped permeate a bad self-image. Maybe it's an addiction. Some addiction that's keeping you from moving forward and being all that you were, all that you could be. How about this? It could be our codependence. Maybe you've got a controlling parent or spouse or something. But each of these things lead to a loss of identity. And there are so many people today who are lost, have no sense of direction, no sense of identity. They don't know who they are. They don't know why they exist. They're lost. I was thinking about this today. I hate to be lost. I hate being lost. I mean, I hate it. And back when I was in the music industry, I was always traveling. I was always flying, and I could totally relate to you, my brother. He had to get that early morning flight, and my life was filled with early morning flights, and you know, having to be in certain places at certain times, everything had to work, and you know, and I was terrified of missing planes. So literally, during that time, I would have nightmares. My nightmares were about being lost on the way to the airport. I'm serious. I'm not lying. I would have nightmares on a regular basis of being lost on the way to the airport. Well, I was on tour with a Christian artist, and we were in Pennsylvania, and we'd been out for weeks, and we did the last night of the tour, and man, we're so wanting to be home. You know, I've probably been married maybe 7 or 8 years. You know, our daughter was really little at that time, and this is before cell phones and FaceTime and all that. I mean, when you were on the road, you barely got to talk to your family, you know. So, man, I'm just missing my wife and my daughter, and oh, it's been weeks. And so we do the gig that night, and then the next morning we get up super early because we got a super early flight all the way from Pennsylvania. This lady comes and picks us up in her van, and she was like a volunteer from the church or whatever that sponsored this concert that we did. We get in the van and we're driving, and we're all just like, oh man, we can't wait to get home. It's gonna be so awesome, you know, blah blah. You know, we're driving, and after a while, I was like, that McDonald's seems like I've seen that. Didn't we just see that McDonald's a little while ago?
Oh, no.
We're driving and driving, and I'm like, no, wait a minute, I know I saw that store before, and this lady is lost on the way to the airport. And it was just like, the atmosphere in the van just went, you know? Now, we're a Christian band, you know, right? So we're fighting this thing in us of like, what the heck are you doing? But we can't do that because we're Christians. So it's like, excuse me, ma'am, do you know where you are? She bursts into tears. Like, oh my gosh. So eventually she finds the airport. But of course, we miss our flight. And I was thinking to myself, wow, my dream came true. I must be a prophet. But I hate being lost. And you can understand why. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says this. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You're members of God's family. Woo! There is your identity. There is your purpose. There is your direction. Because now, if you choose, you have all the rights, all the privileges, all the heritage, all the blessing, all the resources that come with being a member of God's family. The resurrection changed everything. Would you guys bow your heads right now? We've seen how the resurrection changed everything. This is why we celebrate Easter. This is why Christians all over the world are so excited about today, because today has so much meaning for us. The wall between us and God came down. The wall between Jew and Gentile came down. The walls between us and everyone else has come down. And even the walls within ourselves has come down. All because of what Jesus did. All because of his sacrifice. But it's a choice. God doesn't force freedom on anyone. God doesn't force blessing on anyone. And God doesn't force anyone to be in his family. God's not codependent. But you may be here today, and you may want forgiveness. You may want a reset. you may want to be a member of his family. So the question is, how do I do this? How do I do that? And Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, he said, the way that you do it is that if you will declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Isn't it interesting that the same mouth that gets us in trouble is the same mouth that can save us? He said, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice he didn't say you can be. He said you will be. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. We believe in our heart that Jesus, you did live a sinless life. You were crucified. And you came back to life after 3 days, just as you said you would. And now you're alive. And now you are the way to eternal life and forgiveness. And because of that, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. And I want to be in your family. And that's all you have to do. So I want to ask, if you're here today, and if that's what you want to do today, would you just simply lift your hand just to indicate that's a decision that I really want to make, either for the first time or if it's a time of resetting your faith and your walk with God. I don't want us to do anything else before you have that opportunity. Thank you. I see that hand. Is there anyone else here today who's wanting to make that? Amen. Is there anyone else here today? Thank you. Yes, I see your hand. Those of you that have raised your hands, I just want to lead you in a simple prayer. So, church, if you'll all pray out loud with me now. Say, dear God, I come to you now, and I give you my heart. I thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. I believe that you are the Son of God. And so forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your love. Be my Lord. And I thank you now in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, I want to ask you also, is there conflict between you and someone else? Is there someone that you need to make things right? Is there someone that you need to ask for forgiveness? And with every head bowed, now if there's conflict between you and someone else, and you feel like God has given you some direction about what to do, even in terms of how to pray, would you just lift your hand right now? Hallelujah. Yes. Father God, I just want to lift up everyone who's raised their hands. God, I believe that they're raising their hands because they want things to heal between them and someone else. And so, Father, I pray for your mighty power to move in their lives and in their midst, God, that you would hear their prayer. And that, God, that you would indeed cause the wall between them and whoever it is to come down. That, God, that there would be reconciliation. There would be healing. There would be hope. And so, God, we praise you for that. And we thank you that all of that is possible because of what you've done. And so we thank you. We honor you. We thank you for today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we give the Lord praise? Amen. All right. Well, in just a moment, our greeters are